Fasting is where you say no to you in order to hear yes from God.
Dr. Tony Evans reveals how a physical fast can unlock a spiritual breakthrough.
It is renouncing the natural in order to invoke the supernatural.
This is the Alternative Broadcast, featuring the timeless biblical teachings from the archives of Dr. Tony Evans. Dr. Evans believes that one of the best ways to satisfy your spiritual appetite is to sometimes say no to your physical one. Today, we begin a collection of messages that take a look at the subject of fasting through the lens of Scripture. Let's hear from Dr. Evans.
The true story is told of two lumberjacks. One was older, the other one was younger, and the younger one had gotten somewhat proud of the fact that he could cut down trees at a pretty fast rate. And even though the older lumberjack was known for his speed, he now felt that he had the wherewithal to challenge him to a tree-cutting contest. And so he challenged him who could cut down the most trees in one day. Well, they began. And the young man, with all of his vim, vigor, and vitality, went at it. And he chopped down one tree after another tree, and he wouldn't stop. He went nonstop all day long. He knew that it looked pretty good for him when he noticed that the older lumberjack would only chop trees down for 1 hour and then take a 15-minute rest. Chop another hour, then another 15-minute break. But when the end of the day came, the older lumberjack had chopped down one-third more trees than the younger lumberjack. Somewhat muffed and put off, he went over to the old statesman of forestry and said, "How in the world could you, taking 15-minute breaks after every hour of cutting, cut down more trees than I could, going nonstop all day long?" The older gentleman looked at him and said, "Because when I stopped cutting and sat down, I sharpened my axe." A lot of us been working hard to do right, but with dull axes, and wonder why the trees aren't falling. We've made resolutions last year. After 2 months, the axe got dull and the trees stopped falling. Sometimes you can look at somebody who doesn't seem to be trying half as hard as you are, but moving much further in their spiritual life than you are. And you're going to church and serving and running here and doing this and that, and you wonder why they are progressing, why I only seem to be chopping down a few spiritual trees. Maybe they've taken the time out to sharpen their axes. You see, that's what fasting and prayer is all about. It is about sharpening the axe of the inner man so that we are able to move through what I call the gateway to spiritual victory. Jesus told the disciples, "This mountain can only be removed by fasting and prayer." Jesus said, "This mountain can only be removed, this circumstance can only be overcome, this tragedy can only be reversed by prayer and fasting." You hear a lot about prayer. I'm sure you've not heard too much about fasting, and maybe, just maybe, this could be what changes your life. In fact, Jesus said that in his absence, fasting was to be a priority. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 15, for example, listen to what he says. And Jesus said, "The attendants of the bridegroom cannot mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them, can they? But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and they will fast." That is, the day will come when Jesus is no longer physically here on earth, and because of his physical absence and the need to make a link with him spiritually, fasting would be the way to make that connection. Since you can't go to Jesus physically right now and sit down with him and have a verbal conversation, physical face to physical face, God says that there is a way you can make a special link with him when you need him, and he says, and they will fast. Fasting is the way that gets through the gateway to get to God in the crises of life. So let me say four things today about fasting. First of all, let me review with you the principle of fasting. In the Bible, fasting occurred during the burdens of life that demanded a spiritual breakthrough. Let me say that again. In the Bible, fasting occurred when there was the need for a spiritual breakthrough due to the burdens of life. It could be emotional burdens, circumstantial burdens, relationship burdens, ministerial burdens, the directional burdens, which direction you should take in life. Fasting was the way that the saints of God got a breakthrough to help direct them or to help them deal with a crisis in their lives. So it was no small thing. What is fasting? Fasting is a deliberate, it's intentional, abstinence from physical gratification in order to achieve a spiritual goal. It is a denial of the flesh in order to gain a response from the spirit. It is renouncing the natural in order to invoke the supernatural. So fasting is where you say no to you in order to hear yes from God. It was the way by which God's presence would be invoked in the midst of a difficult situation. Turn your Bibles to Zechariah chapter 7, next to the last book of the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 7, and let me read two key verses, verse 5 and 6. Say to all the people of the land and to the priest, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and the seventh months, these 70 years, was it actually for me that you fasted? Verse 6, and when you eat and drink, do you not eat and drink for yourselves? And do you not eat for yourselves? And do you not drink for yourselves? Now follow this. When you eat after church today, who will you be eating for? Nobody but you. I can guarantee it. You do not eat with me in mind. And I can guarantee you, I don't eat with you in mind. But he says in Zechariah, when you fast, that is for me. When you eat, that's for you. But when you give up food, you get my attention just like you get your attention when you eat food. What food does for you, fasting does for me. What does food do for you? It satisfies you. What does fasting do for God? Satisfy him. What about fasting satisfies God that food does for us? There is a desire when we get hungry to have something inside of us that addresses the cry of the body. When we fast, what we are saying is, the cry of my soul is greater than the cry of my belly. And since my soul can only be addressed by you, I am going to give up the cry of my belly in order to feed the cry of my soul. So the reason that you get God's attention in fasting like nothing else is you place the inner man as more important than the outer man. You said more important than my belly and my body is my broken spirit and my broken soul. So it's more important that I feed God, that is my relationship with him, than I feed myself. It is a choice of what comes first. It is a matter of priority that gets God's attention about fasting. You cannot build a skyscraper on the foundation of a chicken coop. If you're going to build a skyscraper, guess what you got to do? Dig way down deep and have a low foundation. Fasting is God's way of getting you to this deeper spiritual reality. The question in fasting is simply this. Are you willing to give up steak and potatoes to gain spiritual riches? Are you willing to give up that which gratifies the flesh in order to make an investment in that which builds up the spirit? It is a test of how serious you are. Secondly, the purpose of fasting. If you look with me very quickly at Isaiah chapter 58, which is the longest, most comprehensive passage on fasting in the whole Bible. Cry aloud, do not hold back, verse 1 says. Raise your voice like a trumpet and declare to my people their transgression and to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me day by day and delight to know my ways as a nation that does righteousness and has not forsaken the ordinances of their God. They ask me for just decisions. They delight in the nearness of God. Why have we fasted and thou dost not see? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Behold, on the day of your fast, you find your desire and drive hard all your workers. Now watch this. Behold, you fast for contention, strife, and to strike with a wicked fist. You do not fast like you do today to make your voice heard on high. At least to a third point, the practice of the fast. Well, what do I do? Look at Psalm 69, verse 10. When I wept in my soul with fasting, it became my reproach. And when I made sackcloth with clothing, I became a byword to them. In other words, people made fun of me. Those who sit in the gates, they talked about me. Look at that fool fasting, not eating, like that's going to do him some good. And I am the song of drunkards. Drunk people are singing about me in jest. Oh, but look at verse 13. But as for me, my prayer, because fasting always went with prayer, my prayer is to thee, O Lord. I'm not talking to them. I'm talking to you. At an acceptable time, O God, in the greatness of thy loving kindness, answer me with thy saving truth. Deliver me from the mire and do not let me sink. May I be delivered from my foes. May the floods of water not overflow me. May the deep not swallow me up and may the pit not shut its mouth on me. My world is closing in. Anybody ever felt like that? Well, your world is closing in. What you need is to hear from God. You need to hear from God, and that's what he says. He says, I came before you in fasting, and when I came before you, I told you that my world is closing in on me. It is where you go before God because you desperately need him to come through, and when you desperately need him to come through, the Bible says you go to him in prayer.
Dr. Evans will reveal how fasting and prayer can transform despair into hope when he returns in just a moment. First, though, I want to let you know that the lesson we're hearing today is part of an enlightening series exploring what the Bible has to say about fasting. The complete collection of all 14 full-length messages in this two-volume series on fasting is available as our thank you gift to those who make a contribution to help support the ministry of The Alternative. This offer will only be available for a limited time, so visit us right away at tonyevans.org. to request your copy of Fasting. You'll receive all 14 audio messages along with an extra bonus, our Hope for the Hurting Leader Kit, perfect for both leading a small group study and for your own personal spiritual growth. In this Bible study, Dr. Evans offers spiritual principles for facing life's pains and hurts. Love and happiness are possible if we learn how to walk through the hurt with peace and joy. The Leader Kit not only includes a copy of the Hope for the Hurting book, but also a study guide, printed content for 6 study sessions, teaching videos and session previews from Dr. Evans, and more. Get the Fasting Audio Series and the Hope for the Hurting Leader Kit, along with our thanks, when you request them and make a donation online at tonyevans.org. Or give us a call at 1-800-800-3222. Where a team member will be happy to help with your request. I'll repeat our contact information after part 2 of today's lesson and this.
On the Unbound podcast, Dr. Tony Evans hosts meaningful conversations with all kinds of guests. Here's a moment with hip-hop artist Lecrae.
So when you are 76 and you look back over legacy, what do you want that to say?
I love to stand in the gap between hip-hop world and the church and translate the languages for one another. And if I could die being that bridge, I'm a happy man.
Catch talks like these on the Unbound podcast.
You can find the new Unbound podcast with Tony Evans on his YouTube channel or on your favorite podcast platform. Right now, let's get back to Dr. Evans with today's lesson on fasting.
Look at Joel chapter 2, where he brings up this whole concept of fasting and prayer and how we are to relate to God. Verse 12, "And even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart and with fasting, weeping, and mourning." It's a very serious time. "And rent your heart, not your garments. And return to the Lord, for he is gracious and compassionate." Watch this. "Compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, relenting of evil." He's ready to change negative to positive at a moment's notice. "Who knows whether he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind." He will not only turn things around, he'll leave you some extra behind, he says. And verse 15, "Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, proclaim a solemn assembly." A very serious gathering of God's people to get God's attention. Now, the question is, how bad do you want it? How bad do you want deliverance from alcoholism? How bad do you want deliverance from drugs? How bad do you want to save your marriage? Do you want it bad enough to give up dinner? Do you want it bad enough to give up other gratifications? Do you want it bad enough to throw yourself flush before God and say, "I can't"? You must. And so it's prayer, it's praise, it's proclamation, it's hearing God's word. You ought to go to Isaiah 58, Luke 4, Joel 2, Nehemiah 9, and all the Psalms that deal with David says in Psalm 42, "Oh my soul, why art thou distressed within me? Hope thou in God." He was about to give up, and I know there's some folks here who want to give up, but have you fasted about it yet? Because if you haven't fasted, you haven't done everything. He says, when you've done all that you can do, stand. But you, if you haven't fasted, you've not yet done all that you can do. You have one more option here, and that is to throw yourself on the mercy of God in humility while giving up the craving of the flesh for the greater need of the Spirit. I challenge you to get a notebook for this week or some paper. And on one side, you write out what you want God to do. And I mean, write it out specifically. Don't say, "Lord, bless me." Some vague something that you won't know if it happened. I want you to lay it out. "I want to get this particular healing of this particular body part in my life. I want you to win my mother to Jesus Christ. I want you to take away from me this weakness where I can't say no to drugs. I want you to get pornography out of my life." I want you to lay it out there. And then you put that piece of paper before the Lord Jesus Christ and you lay it out and say, "Now, Lord, this is why I'm giving up food. I'm giving up food because I need you on number one, number two, number three, number four, and number five, and I'm not going to let you go till you bless me." And then on the other side, when the Lord comes through, write it down. It was in the month of February when I noticed my taste buds begin to change. It was in the middle of March when I noticed the fact that my desires began to change. It was in July when I noticed that my mate started treating me better. And the reason I want you to write it down, so you can tell somebody. So you can let somebody know what God did for you. So you can tell them, "You don't know like I know what God can do because I experienced them for myself." Stop piggybacking over other folks' blessings. Stop, get your own testimony of what God did for you. Don't just talk about what I saw, what God did for Jane. If he's in your life, he's your God. And he's no respecter of person. So what can I expect if I fast, if I develop this as my response mechanism to crisis? Well, let's finally again look at Isaiah 58. And he says in closing these words. Verse 6, "Is it not the fast which I choose?" Now watch this. Isaiah 58, 6, "To loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke." Every addiction, every oppression, stuff you can't shake. He says, is this not why you fast? That I might break the stuff that you haven't broken yet? That I might deliver you from the stuff that nobody has been able to help you to be delivered from? Have you tried me this way? He says, if you haven't tried this, you haven't been to the right program yet. I am the program. Look, I'm going to save some of you some money this week. Because when God breaks through and it doesn't cost you anything, you know it's God. Freedom from bondage, captivity. And so many of us are being held captive by things or other people or circumstances. We're just locked in and we live with spiritual handcuffs on, praise the Lord. Some of us can't raise our hands because of our handcuffs. We're handcuffed and we know that when we walk out of church, we're going straight for that addiction, straight for that bondage because Satan has got handcuffs on. Satan owns us. He knows when we wake up in the morning, all he got to do is bring the thought across our mind and he got bang, bang, whop. Some of us can't dance because we got bonds on our feet and we can't walk, we can't move, we can't praise him right. Because Satan, soon as we wake up in the morning, he brings that thought to our mind and he locks our feet down. Chains around our minds. The Bible calls them strongholds, where God holds you oppressed in your mind and you get up depressed. Can hardly get out of bed because Satan has got a vice grip around your mind. God says, have you fasted yet? He says, is this not why you fast? That you might be loose from all of this? Verse 7, is it not to divide your bread with the hungry and to bring the homeless poor into the house? And when you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? This is deep. Look, you can't divide your bread unless you have bread to divide, right? You can't bring homeless into the house unless you have a house. You can't clothe the naked unless you have clothing to give them. And I like this last one. And not to hide yourself from your own flesh. Some of you running from your own family. Don't want to see your own people. Can't stand to look at each other. Can't stand to live with each other. Don't want the kids to come home. Don't want your husband to come home. To hide yourself from your own flesh. He says, have you fasted? He said, because if you fast, I can bless your business so that you have bread to share. I can get you a nicer home so that you have a home to share. Please notice, he's only interested in blessing you if you're going to be a conduit to others and you're not just going to keep it all for yourself. He doesn't mind blessing you as long as he can even use the blessing. But if he blesses you and he can't touch it, and none of God's people can touch it, and can never be available to the kingdom of God, then that's not the fast he's interested in. He says, is it not to change your circumstances so you can help others and to give you a better environment so that you don't have to hide from your own relatives? Verse 8, and then your light will break out like the dawn. Oh, I like this. Then the butterfly will come out of the cocoon of the caterpillar. Then all this stuff God gave you. See, we've been given all these spiritual resources. We've been seated in heavenly places and we don't even know where the chair is. We've been positioned next to Jesus Christ and we don't know where in the world that is. You know why? Because this light has been stuffled in the flesh. The flesh is so dominant, the light doesn't break through. But he says, you starve the flesh. What happens when you starve the flesh? You shrink, right? You shrink. Flesh gets weak. I'm going to tell you now, if you go on fasting, especially if you fast more than one meal, you're going to get weak. And that's wonderful. Why is it wonderful to get weak? Because now the flesh can't buck up like it used to. See, when you keep the flesh strong, it can buck off. And every time the spirit says, let's go serve God, flesh says, we ain't going nowhere. I'm running this show. I'm in charge here. Let's eat. But once the flesh starts to get weak and you can't move fast as you normally move and you can't act, the spirit's going to say, let's break out of here. And the flesh's going to say, I can't stop him. I'm too weak. For in our weakness, we are strong, Paul says. When we become weak, then we become strong. Because now we're feeding the spirit. The flesh is getting weaker. That's a good thing. Because it can't resist you as strongly. And your recovery will speedily come forth. Somebody need healing. You know why some of us are not getting bodily healing? Because we have two weak souls. And a lot of our bodily problems are related to weakness of soul. He says, strengthen your soul and your healing will spring forth. and your righteousness will go before you. You'll get back your testimony. And now, like the end of verse 8, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. I will protect you. I'll cover your back, your rear guard. That's your back. I have your back. Now, everybody wants somebody covering their back. God says, I got your back. I got your back at work. I got your back at home. I got your back at play. I got your back. You mean I can get all this from fasting? Yep. Or if he doesn't give you that, he gives you something better than that. The bottom line is verse 9. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. That's the bottom line. Then you will call. You say, but I've been calling all the time, but not with a fast. And if it's a crisis, God wants to be treated seriously. Since 1937, planes have been pressurized so that they can fly above the clouds. It is this pressure that allows them to go up 30 and 35,000 feet and you still survive. You see, before then, they had to fly low underneath the clouds so that they would still be in the atmosphere so that we could breathe. But once they pressurized the planes could go higher and higher and higher because the inside of the plane is pressurized and holds the oxygen so we can keep breathing even up there where the air is thin. You ain't praying with me. Listen, when you start this fasting and prayer, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen there. Satan and all of his minions are going to line up at cloud level. And gonna keep you, try to keep you below the clouds. They're gonna say, let's make sure that they don't get high. Let's make sure that they don't get up here close to the throne of God. He's gonna do everything he can to keep you below the cloud level. But if you fast and throw yourself on the mercy of God, you're gonna break the clouds. You say, but how can I make it up there? Because when you fast, he pressurizes your soul so you can make it up there in heavenly places where God's blessings are, where God's power is. For you have already been blessed with all spiritual blessings, but they're located above the clouds. They're located in heavenly places. Don't let Satan keep you on the ground. It's time to fly by pressurizing the soul so that the flesh is now under your control and you're not under its control.
Dr. Evans with a biblical examination today on the importance of fasting. Now, as I mentioned earlier, today's lesson is the first installment in a series from Tony simply called Fasting. And don't forget, when you help support the alternative broadcast with a contribution, we'll say thanks by sending you all 14 full-length lessons in this powerful series, along with the Hope for the Hurting Leader Kit, including the book, study guide, study session materials, teaching videos, and more. But this is a special limited-time offer, so don't wait. Drop by our website, TonyEvans.org, to let us know you'd like to take advantage of this exclusive deal. Or call us at 1-800-800-3222, where the friendly people on our resource team are ready 24/7 to help you. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222, or online at TonyEvans.org. And while you're on the website, be sure to register your interest in A Journey Through Israel with Tony Evans this October. From Jerusalem to the shores of the Sea of Galilee, you'll explore Scripture in its original setting with teaching from Dr. Evans along the way. Visit TonyEvans.org to find out more. Most of us understand that God has the power to deliver us. But when we're caught in a difficult situation or circumstance, we sometimes wonder if he'll actually do it. Be sure to join us next time as Dr. Evans talks about how we can grow our faith to fully trust in God's deliverance.